Welcome to all of those who do not have cottages. Joking. It is good to see you on this long weekend. Wonderful always to be together in the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these amazing moments that we just come together. It's wonderful at home when we sing these songs, and I do that often. But when we do them together as God's people, there's just a difference. It just changes everything. Father, you are so amazing in our lives. You bless us in so many ways. We don't have the words to say thank you. Lord Jesus, you left your kingdom to come into this world that was broken and dark and needy. You brought your light. You brought change. You brought that hope. And you gave us life in all of its abundance. But you also left us your examples. And you said, this is what you should do. Follow me. As we listen for your word today, it will have an invitation. Help us, Lord, to hear that. And as difficult as it might be, to follow that example. It is in your precious name that we ask. We love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Conclusion of our little series called Choices. We started way back when we spoke about forgiveness and worries and all of these things that we bring to the Lord. So a little different one today. Today, we're going to do the Abba song. We're going to send out an SOS. See where that brings us. Jay, remember, we spoke about the WWE that we did the other day. So we end with the SOS today. It was a beautiful morning, May 25th, 2006, when Dan Mazur and his two friends woke up on the slopes of Mount Everest. Now, you know, that's about 29,000 feet, if I've got it wrong. And every year, hundreds of people flock there to try and reach the summit. The last 3,000 feet of the summit is known as the death zone because the oxygen is so thin, the air is so thin, not a lot of oxygen, blizzards, whiteouts, all kinds of things that are just not easy and great to deal with. When they woke up that morning, they were 1,000 feet away from the summit. Beautiful sunshine day. And they were thinking, man, 2 hours from now, we're going to stand right up there at the top, something that we dreamt of for such a long time. As they got ready, got their gear on, Dan caught something to the side. And it looked like maybe it was a tent that was kind of yellowish-orange. And he thought, but there should be a tent. So walked a little closer and saw a man sitting 2 feet from the edge of a how many thousand feet cliff. His down suit that they all wear up there was zipped open, and he was busy trying to put on a shirt. No gloves, no oxygen mask, no hat. Kind of half dead. So he went closer and he said, hello. And the guy said, hi. He said, what's your name? The guy said, my name is Lincoln Hall. And in that moment, he was just stunned because 12 hours earlier, they heard on the radios that Lincoln Hall had died on the mountain and that the folks that were with him left him there. And here he was sitting, trying to change his shirt, half dead, not really dead. So Dad and his friends looked at this and they had a choice to make. They had this dream that they were fulfilling. In 2 hours, they were going to reach the summit of Mount Everest. Or they could help Lincoln Hall get down that mountain and hopefully his life could be saved. There's a slide for this, Grace. There we go. Actually, a true story that I'm telling you. And they said that was very easy to make the choice. Ascending would be difficult, but descending would be even more difficult with a man that's half dead. But they already made the choice. They were going down, and they're going to try and save his life. And they did. So here's, thanks, Grace. Here's what got me when I read this story. It asks the question, so if that was me, what would I do? What would I have done in that situation? Here's my dream right in front of me, and I can reach that. Here's this man who was left for dead, and maybe he's just not even going to make it. See, the thing is, I don't think any of us are going to, maybe I'm wrong. Who knows, those little ones might do that one day, my senior. Are going to go trying to reach the summit of Mount Everest. But the thing is, each one of us is faced with these fork in the road decisions every day of our lives. And the thing is, they're all under this one heading. In my life, who is number one? And we don't have to make that decision on Mount Everest, but we make them at home with my spouse, with my children, my parents. We make them at work with my colleagues, with my boss, with my employees. We make them at school with our friends, with the ones who hang around with us. We have to make those decisions every day. And the question is, who's number one? Them or me? Am I going to choose to be the servant, or am I the one who says, I always want to be served? And it sounds simple, but it's not that easy. And you know that, and I know that, because we grow up in a world that teaches you from knee high that you always have to look out for number one. Now, Jesus, he changes that. And by now we know that Jesus is always countercultural, right? World says zig, Jesus zags. In Jesus' economy, he says, the least shall be the greatest, the last shall be the first, and we will be very wise to consider his words. So do that with me. Matthew chapter 5, 38 to 41, and I'm reading from the New Living. I love this. This is such a cool passage. But boy, is it hard. You've heard the law, says Jesus, that says the punishment must match the injury. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But, oh boy, there's your biblical but. But I say, do not resist an evil person. Someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. Can I just stop you for a second? A little tongue-in-cheek with this one that Jesus does. You would not slap someone if you were right-handed with your right hand. This is the unclean hand, because you do all the unclean things with this hand. You would slap with your left. That's why he says if they slap you on the right cheek, because if you're looking at me and I'm going to slap you, I'm going to do this. And when he says, then turn the other cheek, you're saying, are you going to do what the law says you're not allowed to do? Slap me with your unclean hand? Interesting. But forget that. That's not the story. Someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. If you're sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Boy, that's hard, isn't it? Let me explain a little bit about this. If you were a Jewish person living in that Roman world, there were rules that you could not break. One of the laws was, if a Roman soldier comes up to you and says, here's my kit, you're going to carry my bags, you had to carry that for a full mile. Never mind what you were doing. You were changing the baby's diaper, not his problem. You were taking care of your store, not his problem. You had to put that kit on your back, and you had to walk a full mile. Now, I don't know about you, but me, if he came up to me and he said, you put that kit on your back, I was going to be grumbling in my beard. I might have even dropped that backpack once or twice by accident. I might have even said a few words that a pastor is not supposed to say. Jesus says, I think there's a different way of handling this. We call it serving. He tells you to carry this for a mile. You carry it for 2 miles. Now, imagine this scenario for a second. You're walking the mile. You get to the end of the mile and you stop and you say, hey, Atticus, I got to tell you, this was my joy to carry this backpack for you. How about we go another mile and I carry it for you for one more mile? Imagine Atticus' face. But imagine as you go that second mile, the joy that might come into your life because you are selflessly serving others. And there's a little slide for that. Serving, there's another SOS, others, selflessly. And as you do that, and there's a slide for this one, you become a member of the society of the second mile. You send out an SOS. Because here's the thing about members of the society of the second mile. Their joy is found in serving others. They're prepared to give up those lofty dreams of getting to Mount Everest, the top, to bless someone else who needs to be blessed. And let me tell you something. You're in good company in this place. Boy, is this place filled with a lot of SOSers. You walk in that door on a Sunday morning, and they're standing right there at the door. They're greeting you. They're giving you a bulletin. They're asking, how are you doing? If you're new, they'll say, can I help you? Can I show you where you need to take your kids? You'll find them on a Tuesday afternoon when no one else is at the church, and they'll be sitting in that parlor, and they're praying. Praying for this church, for the ministries in this church, for you, for me, for those who are in need. They're praying. Because they're serving others selflessly. You go back there now, you saw all these little kids walk out this place. Right there in the back, there's a whole bunch of people who are members of the society of the second mile. We're teaching them with grace and love. You'll find them on a Wednesday evening when they're teaching the young adults. You'll find them standing on the stage because they were here Tuesday night after work, after the whole day, coming to practice so that they can lead you in worship this morning. You'll find them sitting up there doing sound and doing video and doing live stream because they're members of the society of walking the second mile, because those are the ones who selflessly serve others. Touching lives, changing lives, and the list just goes on. Here's the thing. All of us can do that. And in that serving is when the joy starts coming into your life. Can I just take Stacy as an example? I've often seen that. I look at Stacy when she stands at the door and the folks come in and she just beams. There's just this humongous smile on her face. There's a joy that comes out of that. Standing at that door. We pay her $1 million for that, but that's a story for another day. No, that's not true. Because that's what happens. So here's a thought, and I know it sounds a little crazy. How about when you wake up tomorrow morning? How about the first thought that you think is, who can I serve today? Instead of asking, well, I wonder who's going to serve me today and take care of me. Because here's the thing. If every day you walk out of your house with this expectation that you have to be served and acknowledged, might be a bad day. because there might not be enough time for everyone to acknowledge you or to take care of you or to serve you. And you might end up at the end of that day feeling really disappointed and angry and frustrated. And if that's the expectation every day, boy, is your world going to sound like a world with so many unmet expectations. But what if we take that and we flip that upside down? What if, when I go to work on Tuesday, instead of waiting for everyone to be nice to me, I walk in there and I decide to bless all of them with a word of kindness or a smile or just a touch on the shoulder saying, how are you doing today? How about instead of me wondering if everyone's going to see that I'm going through a tough time, I make it my goal when I get there to see who's going through a tough time and go and be there for them just with a kind word or a gentle moment. What if I become the servant for my spouse, my kids, my parents? And instead of thinking, what are they going to do for me? What am I going to do for you? Here's the thing about the people of the society of the second mile. They don't have uniforms. They don't get accolades. They don't sit in huge boardrooms with air conditioning and all that kind of stuff. But they do understand when Jesus says the following from Matthew. I'm going to give you one Matthew, one Luke. From the Message, Matthew 10. If your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and you look at me, says Jesus, you'll find both yourself and me. Society of the second mile. Look at the second one from Luke 9. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. So let's make this a little practical. Two things. How about daily doing something for someone without expecting something back? Can I give you an example? Maybe there's a widow that just lost her husband, or vice versa. And they're lonely. How about spending half an hour with them? Just hanging out. With a little smile, a little grace. How about at home with those folks that share your name? You're the one who goes and gets up and just makes coffee. Or the one who just writes a kind little note, I love you. You're precious in my life. Or maybe just do the chores instead of being asked to do the chores. Number two, get over yourself. You're wonderful. And you're loving. And you're precious. And Jesus died for you. But you were put on this earth to serve. Like your Savior. Because as we serve, lives are changed. Can I give you three examples? Just three. There was a man called Moses. Numbers, chapter 11. Is it verse 3? Numbers 11:3, if I remember correctly. It says, Moses stood before the Lord humble, and he served the Lord. And how many lives were changed because of that? Luke chapter 1 verse 38 said, Mary said to the Lord, I am your servant. Do with me whatever you want. And this world was changed. And then there was this man called Jesus. King of kings, Lord of lords. And when he speaks about himself in Matthew 20, verse 28, he says, the Son of Man did not come to be what? Served. But to serve. To give his life as a ransom. And you and I were changed forever. See, here's the thing. You're never closer to Jesus than in those moments that, like him, you serve others selflessly. So, membership is open. Doesn't cost you a thing. You want to join Society of the Second Mile. Amen. Take a few moments of quiet prayer. Thank you for your examples, Lord. The greatest moment of showing us the servant of God is when you went to that cross and selflessly gave yourself for us. Thank you that you can then come back to us and say, you want to be my disciple? Well, come follow me. Walk in my footsteps and follow my example. Thank you that we may do that. Thank you that you provide all we need to do that through your Holy Spirit. And it's hard in the world that we live in, Lord, to be the servants because we want to look out for number one. Help us to be like you, more and more like you, every day. Thank you. Thank you that you help us to do that. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. It is our privilege to thank the Lord as we give up our gifts. I said this morning as I walked in, there was just so much noise going on in this church. And it was so cool. I remember the old days when you walked into church and you had to sit there and you were not to bat an eye. You had to be quiet. It was just a silent place. And I just thought, what a joy it was to walk in here, and it's just so noisy. That's so amazing. I love you, you noisy bunch.